January 30th, 2009, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, it's Jeff Robbins back with the next episode of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. This week on the podcast, we've got an interview with Robert Douglas and Jacob Singh talking about Apache Solr and Lucene and the search engine alternative to Drupal's built-in search stuff. Does some really, really cool search stuff, super high-powered, just really awesome search alternative to the built-in Drupal search system. We had a really great event, the Do It With Drupal seminar in New Orleans last month, and we recorded all of the video from the event and put it all up online. If you attended the Do It With Drupal seminar, you can just log in and access the entire video archive for free. If you did not, we've got the whole archive up there. It's over 40 hours worth of stuff for $95. It's a really, really great. I've been watching all the stuff that I didn't get a chance to see, and everyone that I've been talking to who attended the conference is really excited to be able to see all the other stuff and catch up with all the stuff they missed. But even if you didn't get to the event, it's all up there. You can find it at doitwithdrupal.com. That's doitwithdrupal.com. And all the video is up there, except half of Robert Douglas's talk on Solr. We had some technical problems with the video, and that didn't make it into the archive. So we figured we'd have Robert on the podcast this week and talk about Solr. We invited along Jacob Singh as well, who is working with Robert at Acquia on their Solr system that they're putting together, their hosted Solr stuff that they're actually rolling out today in beta. Well, we'll talk about that in the interview. But it's really cool stuff and a really interesting interview, and here it is. So, Robert Douglas and Jacob Singh, thanks for coming on the podcast. Where are the both of you? Robert, are you in Germany?
I am at my home in Germany, where I do most of my work.
And Jacob?
I'm in the lovely Acquia offices here in Andover, the thrilling Andover, Massachusetts.
Always exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on the police blotter in Andover. So both of you work for Acquia, and we're here to talk about the Solr search engine and what Acquia is doing with that and all that kind of stuff. And Robert, you actually came to the Do It With Drupal seminar in New Orleans and spoke about it.
Yes, I did.
And I want to thank you for that. But we recorded almost all of the sessions and put them all online, but yours got a little bit chopped off. We had some technical problems, and
that's too bad.
I know. So we figured we'd have you come on the podcast and sort of fill in the gaps. So,
well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's see. So Jacob, what's your background with all of this? Where do you come to us from? People have probably heard Robert previously on the Lullabot podcasts, and now he's at Acquia, but what brought you to Acquia?
I'll give a brief introduction. So yeah, I actually worked at Civic Actions for a couple of years. I used to consult with them. After moving to India and the time zone shift, I decided to sort of pursue some of my own projects. And I saw one of Robert's work with Solr. I was already really involved in search for 6 months prior to that. And I thought, wow, this is one of the coolest things out there. It solves a huge need that so many clients have that's very hard to provide for them. and performs really well. So I got interested in it, and not just from a implementation perspective, but also from a systems perspective. I thought, well, enterprise search, you know, it's one of those things that the big boys have, right? Faceted search, really, you know, all the advanced features, spelling suggestions, synonym stemming, all these things that you really associate with Google Search Appliance and products like that. So, you know, I think let's make something that's accessible that a lot of people can use. So I started playing around with getting Solr running in Amazon Web Services in the cloud. And so we set all that up and made a pretty scalable architecture with it. And then I started talking to Acquia and found out they wanted to do the same thing. And I thought, well, hey, let's do it together. And that's how I ended up at Acquia.
So are you still living in India or are you living in Boston now?
I'm living in Delhi. I've been in Boston for the past month. Nobody comes to Boston in January. Got to deal in a hotel. And it snowed and it's been rainy and cold the whole time, but we've been coding away to glory. And we're going to private beta this week.
Wow. So both of you, so Robert, you live in Germany, and Jacob, you live in India, and both of you have such thick accents from those places. It's
yeah.
Hard to understand sometimes. So yeah, I may ask you to repeat yourself if we're having trouble understanding you. So
sure, no problem.
Americans, we just go everywhere, don't we?
Can't keep us out.
So let's sort of step back and talk about what exactly is Solr. Is it an acronym that stands for something? And what's it do? And what's sort of the history of it? That's a big question. So basically, just talk about anything you'd like with Solr for a moment.
Sure. Well, Solr itself is spelled S-O-L-R, and it's a project by the Apache Foundation. So you can find it at apache.org. And it's basically a web service that integrates with the Lucene indexer and searcher. So Lucene is a Java project also by the Apache Foundation. And it's been around for a long time, and it's been a standard in enterprise search and customized search applications, and it does what it does exceptionally well. It's quite famous. And Solr, is being a web service to it, opens it up to be an ideal solution for web applications. So that all of those Drupal sites you've got on some web server somewhere can speak to the Solr web service and therefore integrate with the Lucene indexer and searcher. My history with Solr comes from a deep interest in Drupal search, and I was one of those people back a few years ago who complained loudly about Drupal.org's search doesn't work right, and we need a better solution, and it's not fast, and it's not relevant, and I probably irritated a lot of people who were at the time working very hard at writing that code and trying to make it do Drupal core search really well, and I've hopefully since then reconciled myself with those old wounds. But along the way, I started to see a lot of Drupal projects that were kind of pushing the limits of what core search could do. They were having performance problems. They weren't really happy with relevancy, and they really didn't like how much configuration was available in core search. So I looked for some alternatives, first of all, from the performance standpoint, and Solr was one of the things that I found. And then after I got into it a little bit and I realized what faceted searching is and what an important mind shift a faceted search brings to working with web applications and doing a search, then I became really just boundlessly enthusiastic about the technology, which can be evidenced by the fact that it's the only thing I've talked about for the last year and a half at conferences, et cetera. And I'm really happy that I feel that through Acquia's product and the publicity that we're getting for the Apache Solr project on Drupal.org and the fact that the Drupal.org redesign has chosen to use Apache Solr as its basis search technology.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and
breaking news.
More on that in a bit, but
you
I'm really excited.
First. Yeah.
That's right. I'm really excited that a lot of people now in short time are going to get a chance to try this faceted search thing firsthand, either on Drupal.org or on their very own site. So that's very exciting to me.
Yeah. So Lucene, just to really sort of clarify the difference, you know, where does Lucene end and Solr begin? I mean, is Lucene like something that can be used on the desktop or it seems like a generalized.
If you think about Jeff, if you think about Lucene as being sort of analogous to a database like MySQL or something,
okay.
Right? It's low level. It's more. It has its own API. You know, you can interface with it in Java, and you know, stores its data in a different format, these flat files, sort of. But if you think about that, Solr is an application placed on top of Lucene, which provides a web interface through a Java server like Tomcat or Jetty. And it also provides additional features on top of Lucene. So if Lucene has really primitive data types, Solr would have more complex ones, right? Ways to sort of harness the power of Lucene, the raw processing power, but provide a lot of rich metadata and a lot of usable interfaces around it. So it's easy to integrate with existing applications.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. So Solr's all the web stuff and Lucene's the back-end stuff. Mm-hmm. But they dovetail into each other. Good stuff. So it's all Java based. It's super high performance, right? I mean, it's not a PHP thing. Is that anything that Drupal people should concern themselves with at all?
No, yeah, it's not a PHP thing. It's very high performance. Solr is used in production on various large sites. Some of the more notable ones, I think, is like Netflix uses it, CNET uses it. But it's used on many, many sites. It has a big history there. Lucene, even more than that. So there's not really, yeah, performance-wise, it's some of the best, it's one of the best products out there. For the average Drupal user, you know, there's the way you can traditionally go about setting it up, you know, the module that Robert started and I did some work on, and Peter Willannon has done a huge amount of work on in the last couple months, is Apache Solr module for Drupal. And that basically is an interface to a Solr instance. Now, that Solr instance could be running on your machine. You could set it up yourself. It could be on some other machine someplace else. And what Acquia is offering is a way to host that in the cloud for people, mm-hmm. So they can leverage our infrastructure and our research, our performance enhancements, and a lot of the work, some evaluated features, but also just the sort of ramp up, get started immediately aspect of it. Otherwise, you have to set up all your own infrastructure and maintain it.
So let's explain to people how that works. I mean, how does, let's say we're using Acquia's service, how does that get the data off of our website?
Sure. So the way that happens is when you're passing off – when you index your content, when you sort of run cron, the automated task system, so it'll take the content on your site that needs to be indexed, and it will pass it via a web service call, so over the web to the Solr server. So you configure your module. You say, this is where my Solr server is, and it will connect to it. And every time cron runs, it'll send some data up there. Now, when your users run a search, it's another web service request to the Solr server, which then returns the results. But not just results; it also returns facet information and spelling suggestions, and it highlights the content and various other things.
So unlike Google, by using a web service like this, and it's sort of server to server indexing kinds mm-hmm. of stuff, it could work on an intranet site or a private site with private content as well. Does it respects Drupal's permission system around content?
We've done a lot of work on that area because we realize a lot of our customers may have sensitive data, and so we've actually integrated with Node Access, Jeff. So if you're using the Node Access, any Node Access modules, it should just work. We've tested it. We've tested it with OG and the Node Access module and TackLite, and those all work. That covers, I think, 90% of the bases in the Drupal world. So, so that's pretty much how that works. We actually index the permissions information along with your content. So, when we fire the search off, we make sure that nothing comes back you're not supposed to see. It also has lots of other features. I mean, it's not just for search. We have a related content feature, which uses like what they call term vectors. So it's sort of this idea that if this piece of content as these facets, like these these taxonomy terms, or you know this author, then therefore it is related to this other piece of content which has the same author and taxonomy terms. So you can actually on a Node page get results from Solr for related content and have them show, and they're actually quite accurate and quite fast.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Let's sort of go through the bullet points of these mm-hmm. these features that you're talking about. So first of all, let's talk about the faceted search. We keep talking about faceted search. What is faceted search and how does that work and how does that differ from other types of search that people might be familiar with?
So I can answer that one. When you do a search, then let's say you search for Drupal on Drupal.org, right? You'll get a lot of results. You probably get so many results that you don't know where to start if you really just want to start learning about Drupal. But every one of those results kind of fits into a different category or a different corner of Drupal.org. Some of them are forum posts. Some of them are project issues or bug reports. Some of them are documentation pages. And beyond that, a lot of them have more metadata like taxonomy terms from the taxonomy module. So some of them are tagged Drupal 5, and some of them are tagged Drupal 6. Some of them are, there are lots of different tags. So these are all different types of metadata. So when you search for Drupal, you've done this really general search, and the facets will tell you within all of those search results that you've gotten back, so the 10,000 documents on Drupal.org that talk about Drupal, so many of them, X many of them, talk about Drupal 5, and 3,000 of them talk about Drupal 6. And you can then make a choice. Am I looking for something that pertains to Drupal 5 or Drupal 6? And if one of those matches, you can click down into it and narrow down the search result. Or maybe you're looking for content that was written by a specific author. So maybe I want to find out all of the times that you, Jeff, wrote about Lullabot on Drupal.org. I would search for Lullabot, and then I would click on the Jeff Robbins facet, which would then limit the search to all of those documents which have the keyword Lullabot, but were written by you. So I can drill down into the search result in a really practical way, and it guides me to the next step in my search by showing me what's in the index, what's available, and how much of it there is. So I never search for something that there isn't, that doesn't exist. I don't get a zero set in the end.
Ah, that's nice. I mean, I've talked about taxonomy systems where you click down in the taxonomy system and always end up with a zero. You know, there's inevitably terms that have nothing right there, which is this sort of Russian roulette navigation system, and that definitely happens with search as well. So
well, let me compare that to an advanced search form. So traditionally, the way to handle very large result sets is to give somebody an advanced search form that has a lot of fields, a lot of checkboxes, a lot of radio buttons, and they have to describe exactly what they're looking for in they have to do a lot of work up front. They have to put in some search terms and maybe some negative search phrases and use a little special syntax with minuses in front of it. And then they have to click the check boxes and put the quotations in the right area. And then they hit search, they hold their breath, and you know, if it's Google, they find out right away. If it's Drupal.org, they find out in 10 seconds whether or not there is anything there.
If they're lucky.
And there might not be. So we fix that problem.
Yeah, I mean, one of the key things, Jeff, I think also is I actually wrote an article about this, and Robert did as well over the summer, is just a different IA paradigm information architecture. I mean, one of the things people talk about when they build a website is, well, how do we design this so that people, our customers, because we know them, will understand the same language we understand, and they'll click on the same links we want them to click on, right? And we make these navigation systems and invent this castle, you know. In the sand, and it's like, what are they really going through? I mean, are they actually, do they understand the language that you use? Do they have the same goals that you understand them to have? And one of the best things about search is, you know, they use the word they want to use to describe what they're looking for. And if you have your content, if your search engine is rich enough, you'll then be able to use a faceted search to show them that, oh, you can drill down to these categories. Then you can present your vocabulary, which may make sense to them. You know, so for instance, if I search for a you know, a Mustang, I'm a, you know, it's a car site or something like that, I search for a Mustang, you know, I'll be able to drill down into, do I want a red Mustang or a white Mustang or something like that, right? What if I just know what a Mustang is? I don't know that they're made by Ford. So if your website navigation shows cars by company and it just lists all the company names, that's not going to help me as a user. I'm not going to know to click on Ford. But I know I want a Mustang, and if I pop that in the search box, I'll be able to find out that it's Ford. I'll be able to find out that you have red ones. That kind of data becomes a lot more rich, and it can sort of turn navigation on its head. We let the user decide what language they want to use to find their content. I think that's where the real power comes in, and where website owners can actually see conversions go up quite a bit.
Wow.
When they implement this technology.
So, is there like a sort of thesaurus kind of database going on as well? Is there synonyms? Does it actually sort of know and kind of speak the language, or is it more sort of information gleaned from the content itself?
Robert, don't take it, or should I?
Yeah, it's a combination of both, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So I should say that the Solr technology is still far more feature-rich than the Drupal implementation of it. So you mentioned synonyms, and Solr supports synonyms, but we haven't implemented that yet. Uh-huh. But Acquia's got 3 full-time engineers working on this, and the maintainer list of the module on Drupal.org supports another 5 people developing it. This is an exceptionally well-maintained and under-development module. So we want to add synonym support. It's just not there yet.
After this podcast, people are going to be so excited about it that someone will come and add synonym support.
I think
Jeff, with like the Drupal redesign project going on, we've already got, you know, they're throwing a lot of firepower at that.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So those guys are already submitting great patches that we need. And, you know, and the Acquia version of this is not a fork at all. We're contributing everything we do to the main module. We're just providing hosting for it and ease of setup and some usability enhancements.
That's so great.
But otherwise, we're all working on it together.
So let's talk about the still continuing on through our bullet list, the sort of spelling corrections and how that works.
Sure. It takes a similar approach to what Google takes. I think the earliest attempts to do spelling correction and spelling suggestions kind of put the burden on the person who set up the site to provide a dictionary of all of the words that exist and how they're spelled. That doesn't work very well, because then somebody comes along and says Drupal, and that's not in the dictionary. So what Solr does is what Google does, and it does machine learning. It looks at all of the stuff that you've got in your index and the hundreds of thousands of words if you've got a big index, and it kind of keeps track of which ones you use a lot, and it just goes on the assumption that if it's used a lot, it's spelled right. So if you come in and you search for D-R-U-P-L on Drupal.org, it might find some results because somebody might have mistyped, but it's also going to look and say, hey, you know, this person would get a lot more results if they typed D-R-U-P-A-L, which is the way most people spell that word. So it gives you the results, and then it says, did you mean this? Did you mean Drupal? And mm-hmm. you can click on that link and then improve your search.
I see that a lot in Google. I'm not a very good speller.
Yeah, me neither. Those are the first features I wanted.
And so moving along, what stemming? We hear about stemming. You want to explain what that is?
I think Robert, you want me to do it? You want to do it?
Go for it.
I can do it. Yeah. So stemming is pretty simple. I mean, that's the idea that when you have a you have stems, like, you know, your Latin roots or whatever, or Germanic roots in English. And so when I search for fishing, right, I also mean fish, I also mean fisher, I also mean fish, I mean all the different derivatives of it. So the idea with stemming, there's different, at the low level, different algorithms to handle it. But essentially the point is that, you know, if someone's writing an article about fishing and you search for, you know, fish, you will get that article. And if you search for fishing and the article's about fish, it doesn't mention the word fishing explicitly, you'll get that article. So taking it down to the root word and comparing that one, you know, as opposed to going exact.
Right, right.
So, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So just smart stuff. I mean, this is really, in a lot of ways, sort of language analysis. And as such, I mean, is the current implementation very English-centric, or How does it work with other languages? Obviously, like that stemming, you know, there's different rules for different languages on the way that stems work and don't work.
Yes. Yeah, it's language specific. And if you are running your own Solr server, then you have an option in a configuration file of specifying a language specific stemming class. Mm-hmm. And you would consult the Apache Foundation, apache.org documentation on the matter. The Acquia service is going to launch for English speakers and English stemming. I imagine that we'll be adding more languages to that offering as time goes.
Yeah, there are the Porter stemming algorithm is the most common one, I think. And that has been released in multiple languages as far as I know. Of course, the service will work fine if you're using other languages than English. Just that part might not work.
Got it.
Yeah.
So related content, you mentioned term vectors. Is that very like taxonomy specific? Do people need to do a lot of tagging of the content? Is that important? Or again, is this sort of gleaned from the content? And are there other uses of the related content stuff?
That's a great question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of the block that you have on lullabot.com that recommends content based on taxonomy. And I remember when I was writing lullabot.com articles, I was always very cognizant of it and conscious to tag my content
exactly.
in a way that
yeah.
people would, you know, get the related content suggestions. So the way the content recommendation module works, and here's a nice call out to Mike O'Connor, who wrote that originally.
Mm-hmm.
Is configurable. You can actually create as many content recommendation blocks as you care to, and you can configure each one differently. So just a bit of background, all of the different metadata fields that are in Drupal, so the title of the node, the body of the node, taxonomy terms, the author, the creation date, CCK fields, all of that metadata that your content has gets put into Solr, and Solr is aware of all of those different fields. And when you set up a content recommendation block, you can specify which fields it's supposed to use and how important they are and some other parameters to fine-tune your content recommendation so that you can, you know, turn it on, see how it's running, see if it's recommending the content that you think it should be, and then tweak it.
Wow. So, yeah. So those fields are kept separate in the index. Is that what you're saying?
Or in the Solr index, in fact, Solr's got a very cool indexing system where it has like dynamic fields. So as you add more CCK fields, it'll add them as new fields to the index in Solr automatically without having to, you know, restart it or delete it or anything like that. So that's all in there. Another thing that we neglected to mention, which is actually pretty cool. Is we have waiting algorithms in it as well. So there's like query time boosts, which means currently what we've got for that is that you can boost your content, sort of make it come up more often based on how recent it is.
Ah.
So if an article has been, like for a news site or whatever, it'd help a lot. You can also do it based on the number of comments it has. So we've tweaked the Solr schema to be very Drupal specific. And I think that gives it a lot more power. So, you know, if you're a blog site, obviously, you know, things with a lot of comments should rise to the top more often, right?
So this sort of related content stuff that you're talking about, would it be a sidebar to a search, or could it also be a sidebar to a content item?
And that's what it is. It's a sidebar to an actual item. Like it goes on the node page.
Wow.
On any nodes page.
And does it run a live search? I mean, does it perform well or?
So far, yeah. I mean, we're going to private beta this week, but yeah, I mean, so far we have done a lot of benchmarking, pretty extensively, automated benchmarking and stuff. And, you know, it seems to be pretty good so far. We also cache that, of course.
Yeah. And it is querying a whole separate server that's just set up for that.
Yeah. Well, not just one. Yeah. Many, many other servers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, that's fascinating. So you could, to be able to set up, now is this part, this is a separate module, or is this part of the Solr module that's out there? This the content recommendation engine you mentioned.
It's both. It's part of the package, and it's a separate module. So yeah. And in fact, Peter Willand has done a lot of work to maintain that, and he did all the boosting work. So he's been really, really busy. I'm sure you could ask him more about that too.
Wow. So sort of related content based on similarness in that in very various ways that you can configure, but also recentness and number of like sort of comments and popularity. That's mm-hmm. that's
And also you can do like what the search does. It tokenizes the HTML, so it'll split it up so that your H1 tags are more important than your H2 tags, which are more important than the body text. So the headers, if people search for a word that ends up in a header, that article is more likely to come up than if they search for a word that ends up in the bottom of the text somewhere. Buried.
Wow. This is great stuff. This is like Holy Grail kind of stuff. I mean, all of it is. For anyone that's used the search in Drupal or on Drupal.org, you know what we're talking about is really...
But wait, there's more. We're not done yet. Take, for example, the problem of the Drupal.org properties. You've got Drupal.org and groups.drupal.org, association.drupal.org, api.drupal.org, soon to be store.drupal.org, where the home of the Drupal store will be. You've got scratch.drupal.org, and they're thinking about making project.drupal.org for the projects. Who knows how many more they'll come up with by the end of the day. And you can't search all of those sites right now. You have to go to each one and repeat your search query.
Oh, I search all of them. I use Google.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So we can solve this problem, too, with the Apache Solr module. By the time we demo this in Drupal at DrupalCon, our goal is to have multi-site searching working so that when I search for Drupal on Drupal.org or Lullabot on Drupal.org, I get a list of search responses, items, documents from all of the sites on Drupal.org, and the website on which it's found is one of the facets. So it'll tell me 15 of your results are on Drupal.org, 10 of them are on groups.drupal.org, 3 are on projects.drupal.org, and I could click down into one of those facets to limit it to one of the sites.
In addition, if you're looking at an article about like a Views tutorial or something like that, and it's about how to configure RSS feeds on Views, right? And you're looking at it on Drupal.org, the related content block will actually show you content from groups.drupal.org. People may have written about the same thing,
right,
when it's being implemented, or the ideas behind it, or whatever.
Very cool. So it seems silly at this point, but how does it compare? Like, what's wrong with the Drupal search as it stands now? Will the Drupal search module continue on?
Oh no, there's definitely. I mean, we think everyone should sign up with Acquia and get a subscription and host with us. I'm of course paid to say that. But if I wasn't, I would still say it. But beyond that, you can't really, it's not something that any old user will be able to set up. You have to have a dedicated server or a VPS or whatever. You have to have some Java experience. And so we've made a service that allows everyone to set it up, without any of that overhead of dealing with it. That being said, for a lot of people, it won't be necessary, and they won't need this kind of functionality. And, for now, it's going to be free. We're going to go into a public beta sometime this quarter, and it will be, free with a trial subscription with Acquia, so everyone can try it out and use it for a while. For some people, it may not be worth it, when eventually we start charging money, if we do. We may not. I don't know about all that. But, so Core Search has its value there. I think that's totally valid for small sites, for sites who don't have really intensive searching needs, for sites who don't want to deal with either setting it up or hiring someone to set it up or working with Acquia. There's still value there. I think it should continue to be maintained.
So I have more to add on that. Sorry.
Sure. Shoot.
Jeff, I have a really strong interest in Drupal's core search and organized the search sprint that we had in May at the University of Minnesota. And I've learned a lot, and a lot of people have learned a lot from building this Solr module. For example, we've learned that it pays to not do node load on every search result.
Yeah.
So we're gathering architectural ideas for how we can improve core search while learning from the Apache Solr stuff. And there are a number of patches in the Drupal.org search issue queue for core that could make Drupal search better. That said, it's not that bad. Especially if you go to your configuration and turn all the scoring factors down to zero, then you'll find the relevancy and the speed goes up quite nicely. The fact that you can download Drupal, turn it on, and have a search engine that really tokenizes your content and can do Porter stemming, by the way, if you install the Porter stemmer module. That's a boon for Drupal. That's a real strength mm-hmm. for Drupal that it can do this search already the way it does.
The feeling that I get is that the solar stuff, it's a separate project. It's a standardized thing. There's just millions of people already using it in various ways. There's giant sites that are using it, and the Drupal module is just one aspect of that's gotten some focus by some people, and it's just
beyond that. MySQL is not really well suited for doing this type of search application.
Right.
It's
yeah.
just the wrong technology.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Well, I wanted to sort of give people an idea, like, if they should just immediately abandon using search, the Drupal search stuff, or sort of trying to figure out when it's good enough, or when they should really consider moving to something else.
Well, if you want to go for a rule of thumb, there are two cases when you want to look at solar. The first is when you want the content in your site to drive navigation on its own. You want the content in your site to leap out and speak at the person who's coming to it and say, go here because that's where I am, which is really great for example, if you're trying to build a lot of Google traffic or if you're mm-hmm. running a web shop and you want product discovery to be really natural. That's why Amazon and all the online shops use faceted search these days.
Right.
The other place that you would definitely want to look at solar or another option like Sphinx or Zapian would be when you're running into performance problems and your site's too slow. Chances are, if you're doing Drupal search and your site's too slow, then you could save some database load and speed things up altogether by switching to one of those solutions, including solar.
Yeah, and I think the other case where I see it often applied, it's like organizations where you have a lot of data, which is generated generally by an institution like a university or a large nonprofit research organization, generates thousands and thousands of documents. It's impossible to design, a good UI for that. It's impossible to do good information architecture when you have 100,000 documents. It's like you need a search engine, right? That's the best way to look at it. I think those kind of sites are explicitly suited for it.
Right. So you're saying that the Acquia solar hosting is not actually launched yet. It's coming soon, correct?
Tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow. We're launching a private beta, like an invite-only beta, and then
literally
this
tomorrow.
Literally tomorrow.
So we'll put this podcast up online probably tomorrow. So today, the day that the podcast is coming.
You mess it on my head, Jeff.
It's out there. It's out there, but it's a private beta, so you're going to need to track somebody down and
go find me or Robert and bribe us.
There you go.
He didn't say that.
So let's say that someone wanted to install this today. Where do they go? What do they download? How does that work? We should talk maybe about how it works with the Acquia system, and then maybe also how they would do it if they weren't going to use Acquia.
Sure. So the way you do it with Acquia is that you would go to acquia.com, product-matrix, and you would select one of the free community subscriptions that you can try out. Of course, during the private beta, you still need a special invite for the solar stuff. So this is still a future thing that I'm telling you. But when we launch this for everybody, then you'll just go to the product matrix and you'll select one of the community subscriptions, and that gives you access to an extra module that we host either on acquia.com or drupal.org called the – what's it called, Peter? Jacob?
Sorry, which one?
It's the Acquia Connector module.
Oh, the Acquia Connector module. Yeah, right. That's the new one. Yeah.
And you get the Acquia connector module. When I think solar, I think two people, Jacob Singh and Peter Wollen. And sometimes I just mix them up. You get the module and you put it on your Drupal site, and that lets you communicate with Acquia network, which then hosts the search service. I probably made that sound really complex. It's actually really easy. You get a module, you turn it on, you're ready to go. The other way to do it is to get the modules you need, including the Apache Solar module, and then go to apache.org and get the Solar download, the 1.4 nightly build, not the latest release, the development branch, and you download it, and inside of there is an example application, which consists of a pair of configuration files and a clickable jar file. You replace the configuration files with the configuration files in the Apache Solar module from Drupal.org, and then you use a command line that's documented on Drupal.org on the project page to start the Solar application, and then you're ready to go.
Just that easy, just that simple.
Well, then you got to set up Tomcat, and you got to get it running on cron, and you got to do your index maintenance and everything. Yeah.
I suggest that you also, you know, make it so that it relaunches if your server goes down, and et cetera. Close the port so nobody else can. There's a lot of work if you really want to do it right.
So what you're saying is find you guys in IRC and nag, nag, nag.
Thanks, Jeff.
like most programmers, we've set up a product, you know, so that we don't get bothered on IRC anymore. So there's something with some support and documentation. You know?
Well, actually, I love talking to people about it. Can I talk about the last couple features that we didn't talk about?
Sure. Did we miss some? Please be complete.
I mean,
yes.
With so many, it's easy to miss a couple. But I just wanted to add that it can also do language-specific searching. Languages are a facet.
Oh, right.
It can do sorting of the search results. So you can sort it by oldest, newest, title, alphabetical, reverse alphabetical, the author. And let's see. There was definitely another feature that I missed. Jacob, can you remember any others?
No, I think you pretty much covered the bases. I mean, there's other stuff we're definitely adding. I mean, like Robert said, the Solar project's been around for a couple of years. Lucene's been around for longer than that. And there's a lot there that we haven't tapped yet. I mean, we just need more people to contribute. We already have a ton of people here working on it. And we're going to implement those features sooner rather than later.
So, I remembered. Yeah, you can index the text in your PDF, Word, and text files that you've uploaded to Notes.
Oh wow!
So, yeah.
Well, not right now. Well, that's in the backlog. But yeah,
to be fair, and another call out to one of the maintainers, Frank Febraro of Phase 2 Technologies, contributed this module, and every time we've broken it recently, then he's gone and fixed it. So especially if you're running your own server, then you can set it up to index the files that I mentioned. Acquia is going to incorporate this into their service at a later time. But for those of you who run your own, then it can do, you know, search within your Word and PDF documents.
Wow, it's so cool. I mean, you know, I think as people listen to this and go out there and sort of look at the ways that non-Drupal searches work, you start to really see this stuff. I mean, Google doesn't do faceted search per se, but I'm thinking of Amazon definitely does that. I have the Amazon Prime service, so I can get everything immediately. And so there's a facet on the side once I do my search to just show just the Prime items. As well as, you know, categories and all that kind of stuff. But, it's super handy, and super, super useful for people who've seen that. And I know that there are some Google competitors that are sort of touting their faceted searches being better than Google search and stuff like that. So very cool, very cool stuff. Great work, guys.
Thanks.
Cool. And Robert, I hope you'll get to go and look at the other videos from Do It With Drupal even though yours got cut off. Sorry about that.
Okay. we'll do it again next year.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Let me throw one out for everyone who's listening. So we put in a session for DrupalCon, which seems like it's got in. So we'll be doing a presentation on solar. We're going to be doing what Robert said, ideally, if we get the time, is getting groups at Drupal.org and Drupal.org together in one index, demoing that and going through some of the features. But we also wanted to, work with some people's real sites and see how we could, do a before and after shots, like with the models and the photoshopping. And so anyone who has a site who they feel like has a really bad search on it, which could be improved, please get in touch. So I'm jacob.singh at Acquia. Robert's robert.douglas at Acquia, I think. We're pretty Googleable also. So if you want to be part of an experiment at DrupalCon, have your site search redone, get in touch.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's been great.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.